Well, thank you to Paul. Thank you to Chris. That's much appreciated. Well, we come to today probably the greatest and most famous sermon ever preached. Not the one I'm about to preach to you. If we're lucky, that might be somewhere towards the middle. But this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaching on this mountain in Galilee to his disciples. And we begin today with these words about blessing, what we call the Beatitudes, these eight or nine little sentences, these sayings about being blessed. There are all sorts of ways in which we could be blessed. I think all of us are blessed to live in a nice part of the world like we do. We might be blessed with good friends. We might be blessed with certain skills or talents or abilities. And as Aussies, I reckon actually we're not always the best at recognising blessing. I don't know if you know this, but I reckon Aussies can sometimes be a little bit glass half empty rather than glass half full. We can be a bit critical. We're good at noticing sometimes the problems. Talk about our government, our leaders, and we're happy to complain about them. Some probably justified, but we're not often thankful for the ways in which we're blessed by good leadership. I think of myself, even today, I've probably already complained about the heat, about the traffic, about the parking. And I was going to complain about my coffee, but then I was pretty good, actually. So that was good, but I did make it myself. So, of course, this is probably summed up with the greatest compliment that an Australian can give. When something has been really, really, really good, the Australian says it was not bad. Not bad. Now, of course, I'm mostly joking. I think there is some truth in the idea that Aussies aren't always the best at counting their blessings. I was talking to someone a little while ago who's got some connections in America, and he goes there about once a year for some work. He's in Christian kind of ministry. He goes over there to do some stuff over there once a year. And he jokes that he likes going to America once a year because once he's had a year of being criticised and given negative feedback in Australia, he loves going to America for a little bit of encouragement once a year. And actually, I found this myself. I remember when Annika and I went to America a number of years back for a holiday, we were really surprised because actually we thought everything over there would be just the same. But people were very friendly. They would come up and talk to you and start just chatting to you, which is kind of strange for Australians anyway, for just someone to come and talk to you on the street. And for all their flaws, Americans can actually be really positive and really encouraging. And they would talk to us and they'd say, "Oh, you're on a big holiday. Oh, good for you. What are you doing? That's so great. You're having a great time. Well done. Good for you." I remember one time we were walking out, I think it was in Seattle at night time, and an older black woman came right up to us, and she looked at Annika and said, "I just needed to say, you're so beautiful, you're so beautiful." And she looked at me and said, "And you, man, you are blessed." Oh. And I don't know what I said. I think I probably said, "Oh, yeah, she's not bad, is she?" Maybe Australians, maybe we're not always the best at recognising our blessings. And actually, I think Jesus, in our passage today, is saying something somewhat similar. I think Jesus is saying that blessings can sometimes be hard to recognize. And that's because Jesus, in our passage today, turns the whole idea of blessing and what it means to be blessed on its head. Jesus, in our passage today, turns the whole idea of blessing and what it means to be blessed on its head. Jesus wants to show us that real blessing, true blessing, looks quite different to what we might think. Let me try and show you that by taking us through these words, these Beatitudes. They're the sort of words, I think, that you read them through. Chris read them for us, and at first they seem interesting and somewhat encouraging, but also maybe a little bit confusing. They're the sort of words, the more you meditate on them and the more time you spend thinking about what Jesus is saying here, the more I think the incredible depth and the beauty of what Jesus says comes through. And I'm praying that we might have something of that experience today. And I want to show you three things. You could say there are three layers to these Beatitudes that I think are there. I think the Beatitudes give us these three things. I think they give us, number one, an encouragement for the hurting. And then I think, secondly, the Beatitudes, I think they give us a challenge for the strong. And then lastly, I think the Beatitudes give us a king to follow. So an encouragement for the hurting, a challenge for the strong, and a king to follow. Let me show you first how I think these words are an encouragement for the hurting. Now, a question for you. I wonder, as Chris was reading the words out, I wonder, how did you hear the words? Now, let me explain what I mean. When Chris said, when he read out, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." How did you hear those words? What I mean is, I think some of us will hear those words as something of a challenge, almost like a to-do list. Okay, if I want blessing, I have to be meek. I have to be merciful. If this is blessing, then this is what I have to go and do. But on the other hand, I'm sure some of us would have heard these words as words of comfort. Comfort for those who are already feeling these things. And I think hearing them as words of comfort is actually where we should begin. Because for context, Jesus is in Galilee. He's out in the sticks. He's not in the central part of the country. He's been with people who are not particularly well off. He's not in the upper levels of society. And if you were with us last week, he's been healing people. People have been coming to him who are really struggling. And I think when we talk about blessings, some of us will, depending on how our week's been, where our life's up to, how we've been going lately, what we've been going through, some of us might feel like we're struggling too, like we don't have very many blessings. And I'm sure all of us, if we think about it, have something we can be thankful for, but maybe for some of us, we actually don't feel like there's actually very much. We're hurting. We don't feel very blessed. Maybe that's you as you hear these words today. And if that is you, I think these words are meant to be words of encouragement, words of comfort. And what these words are doing is they're giving us a deeper truth. They're flipping things around for us and saying, you know, actually, if you're hurting, you're poor in spirit, you might not realize it, but you're blessed. You're mourning, you're meek, you don't feel like you can stand up for yourself very well at the moment. Jesus is saying, you might not feel it, but actually, you're blessed. It's meant to be words of comfort. The word blessed in these Beatitudes is sort of a declaration of truth. I heard one person say you could translate it as almost like Jesus saying, congratulations. The only problem with translating it that way is that it would sound very sarcastic, right? You're poor in spirit, congratulations. You're in mourning, congratulations. Good for you. Don't say that next time you go to a funeral when you're speaking to the bereaved family. But this is what Jesus is saying, not in a sarcastic way, but in a deeply true way. It's what Jesus is saying to you this morning if you are finding life tough, if you're struggling at the moment. Jesus is very compassionate. He grieves when we grieve. He hurts as we hurt. He cares about what you're going through. But he also says that if you're hurting, there is something good about it. And what's good about it? Well, it's that as we feel our brokenness, we're ready to come to him. We're ready to throw ourselves on his blessings and trust in his wonderful eternal kingdom promises. Jesus is saying, if you're poor in spirit and you've got nothing, well, that's good because come to me. I'm going to give you a kingdom. I'm going to give you the kingdom of heaven. And if you're mourning, well, good. Oh, because come to me. I can show you real comfort. Lasting comfort. You're meek. You don't really stand up for yourself and put yourself in front of others. Well, good, because come to me, because I'm going to stand up for you way more than you could anyway. I'm going to give you the whole earth. When we realize our own bankruptcy, we come to him ready to receive his blessings. And notice, by the way, just how countercultural this is, how much it flips the idea of what it means to be blessed on its head. And I was thinking this week, what would it look like if we were to write sort of an Aussie kind of version of the Beatitudes, what a typical Aussie would think it means to be blessed. I wonder what you'd come up with if you had that challenge, kind of write a version of the Beatitudes for a typical Aussie living in 2025. This is what I wrote. Blessed is the one who's able to save up enough for a house deposit, for they will be approved for a mortgage. Blessed are those who can avoid grief and loss this year, for they will be able to relax. Blessed are those who will take initiative and show themselves to be better than others, so that they will receive a promotion. Blessed are the go-getters, who see what they want and take it. Blessed are the good-looking, for they will receive lots of romantic interest. Blessed are those who made wise investments in Nvidia shares, for they will have great wealth. Blessed are the influencers who make lots of money and have free holidays. The problem with our world's way of thinking is, as Jesus says, you might actually be better off if it was all flipped around. Because if you're going really well by the world's standards, making money, getting ahead, really nailing life, well, you probably actually aren't going to be that interested in throwing yourself on Jesus, asking for his help, seeking the blessing of his kingdom. Later in this book, in the book of Matthew, Matthew 19, we're not going to get there this year, quite a long way away, but Jesus is going to say that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And the point of that story is not to show that if you're rich, you could never be saved. The point is to show you that all things are possible with God. The point there is actually the same here, that there is a danger that comes with life going really well, because we might put everything into this life. We might ignore life's brokenness because we can't see it very clearly. And we might miss out on what Jesus offers to those who come to him. So if you know that you're hurting, if you know that you need him, and if you come to him, you might still feel the hurt a lot of the time. But what you have is real blessing. You have his promises. You have his kingdom. You will inherit the earth. You will be filled. You will be shown mercy. You will see God and be called a child of God. These words are an encouragement for the hurting. So secondly then, what about the other side of that? These words, I think they are an encouragement for the hurting, but as we go deeper, perhaps you're already starting to see as well that they're also, secondly, a challenge for the strong. But to be clear, the Beatitudes are not trying to say that we should go looking for a hard life and we should just deliberately ruin everything. It's not also trying to say that it's bad if you're capable or if you've got lots of skills, or that it's bad if things are going well. But this is where the other side of how we hear these words of Jesus might come into it, because as we hurt, they're words of comfort, but as we feel strong, they're words that should challenge us. Now, at this point, I want to give us two quick bits of information that I think will understand these Beatitudes a little bit better. One is to say that it's good to know that these words of Jesus about blessing aren't completely original. If you were with us last week, we spoke about how in the book of Matthew, Matthew is using so often words from the Old Testament to show us how Jesus is fulfilling Old Testament prophecy. And particularly we saw last week how Matthew particularly has been using the Old Testament book of Isaiah. He keeps wanting to show us that Jesus is the one who fulfills the book of Isaiah. And today there's no direct quote from Isaiah, but it's good to know that as Jesus speaks these Beatitudes, he is using ideas and themes that are very clearly right there in the book of Isaiah, particularly Isaiah chapter 61. And I just want to take you there just for a minute, just to show you some of the parallels between what Jesus is saying here in Matthew and what Isaiah said back in Isaiah 61. Now, so think of these words that we've heard Jesus say. We heard Jesus say, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." And notice the similarity here in Isaiah 61. The Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release darkness for the prisoners. Notice the same sort of upside down blessing, freedom for the captive, release for the prisoner, good news for the poor. And Jesus in the Beatitudes said, blessed are those who mourn. Notice here in Isaiah, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and a day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. And towards the bottom, just lower on there, in the middle, the oil of joy instead of mourning, praise instead of a spirit of despair. There are lots of parallels to notice. And what we should notice is that here in Isaiah, the focus is very clearly on the question of sin and righteousness. Isaiah is speaking about the sin problem that comes from humans not living God's way. And Isaiah is all about finding, instead of sin, finding God's righteousness. Have a look at just a little bit later in Isaiah 61. Here it says, "Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. Instead of your disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land. And everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. It's right for God to be upset and to punish sin and when we haven't lived for him. It's right that we have a God who knows that evil really is evil. But then he says, in my faithfulness, I will reward my people and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed." With the context of Isaiah, what's clear is that real blessing comes from having the sin problem dealt with. And instead of shame and guilt and sin, instead finding righteousness and belonging in the people of God. And this is important because it helps us understand what the focus of the Beatitudes really is. The Beatitudes, they're about sin and coming to Jesus to receive forgiveness. Now, the second thing to know about the Beatitudes is they're eight sayings or kind of nine sayings, depending on how you count them. They're not meant to be read, it's important to know this, as eight little things that are meant to be describing eight different types of people. You could also kind of almost read them as a checklist, couldn't you? Okay, now I don't mourn, I'm not poor in spirit, but I am meek. So, you know, maybe I won't inherit the earth, but I will be comforted. Or I'm merciful, so I will receive mercy, but I'm not really pure of heart, so I'm not going to get that one. No, they're not trying to sort of help you find out kind of which beatitude are you. What they're trying to do is describe one person, the person who finds forgiveness of sins and comes to be part of Jesus' new kingdom. And I actually think the Beatitudes, they almost describe something of a journey. And this is where I think the Beatitudes are a challenge for us. They challenge us to come on a journey, particularly if we're feeling strong and capable and successful. They're a challenge to come on a journey, to come to Jesus, receive forgiveness of sins and enter into his kingdom. Let me just show you what I mean when I say I think the Beatitudes take us on a little bit of a journey. Blessed are the poor in spirit. We start there. This doesn't mean we're literally poor in terms of our cash, but poor in spirit. In our spirit, we realize and come to the understanding that strength and achievement aren't actually all that big a deal. Because we might feel strong, capable, independent, but when we feel that way, we can sometimes start to think, I'm doing really great. I don't need any help. And the problem with thinking that way is sooner or later, all of us will realize that's not actually true. Because we can be very capable at the moment, but strength doesn't last and success fades. As part of my work with students at uni through SES, we were lucky enough to have one of my favourite preachers from the UK come out to a conference at the end of last year, William Taylor. And William works at a church right in the middle of central London, right in the financial districts of London, where people are really at the top of their game, lots of very successful people. And William, while he was with us, he told a story about one of his church members who was right at the top of a really big investment firm. I think he was CFO. Really, you know, just about as successful as you can get. And this guy had retired. And after a few years of retirement, he went back to the same building that he used to work in. And William was there with him. I think they were going off to meet someone or something like that. And they walked through the building. And this guy said to William, he said, you know, a few years ago, I was the CFO. I walked around this building, and if I walked around this building, people would jump out of their chairs, they would come over to shake my hand, they would say hello, they would pay me lots of attention. I was very important. And now, it was only a few years later, and nobody batted an eyelid or even knew who he was. Success, good health, wealth, fame, recognition, strength. You might have it for a while, but it doesn't last. Eventually, you stop doing what made you successful. Eventually, people forget about you. Sooner or later, poor health might find you, sickness might come, and your strength disappears. And eventually, sooner or later, death finds us. Death where your money and your success can never go with you. But if we realize this truth, if we realize before too late this truth about life, then the Beatitudes start to become real. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I might be fairly capable and strong and things might be going fairly well at the moment, but I understand my brokenness. I understand that I'm poor. I understand my need for help. And then blessed are those who mourn. If we're mourning, we're realizing that we can't do it all ourselves. We're broken. We're realizing that life's broken. We're sad about it. And particularly with that context of Isaiah 61 and the focus on sin and forgiveness, I think particularly when this talks about blessed are those who mourn, I think Jesus is particularly thinking about mourning our own sin. We've seen our own failings and we're a bit upset about it. We're mourning our own sin. We know it's a problem. But of course, that's not enough. The Beatitudes keep going. Blessed are the meek. I don't know what you think of the word meek. I'm sure it's probably a word that I never use in day-to-day life. We're mourning the brokenness and mourning our sin. I think then if we're meek, that means we're somewhat quiet, we're humble. We're humble enough to ask for help, to ask God for help, to ask God for his forgiveness. And then we'll really want the righteousness and the forgiveness he offers. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. It might not be too often that here in Australia we're really, really hungry or really, really thirsty. Maybe on a hot day today you will know what it is to be really, really thirsty. Our throat will get a bit dry. And do you know that feeling of when you're really, really thirsty and a drink of water just, it almost takes on a new flavour. It almost tastes just sweet because you're so thirsty. It's so quenching. It's exactly what you need. Yeah, that's what it's like when we realise we need forgiveness, where we need the righteousness that Jesus offered, when we've realised our lack and become aware of our own sin, and we're meek enough to ask for his help. We come to him for righteousness, and our thirst is quenched. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And then look at how the journey continues. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. We not only now have God's forgiveness ourselves, but we now show grace and forgiveness to others. How could we not if we understand the mercy he's shown to us? Blessed are the pure in heart. Our heart now yearns for God wholeheartedly. We want relationship with him. And the promise is that we'll see him. Blessed are the peacemakers. We now understand because we have peace with God, of course we're going to want to live at peace with others. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. We're not afraid to share the good news of what Jesus has done with others, even if it sometimes comes at a cost. And then these last couple of lines, this is where people debate. It's not very interesting, but are there 8 or 9 Beatitudes? I reckon these last couple of lines are probably more an extension of the 8th Beatitude. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The inference is we now get to speak the words of God to people. And sometimes we might cop some flack for doing that, but we're blessed. We have a great reward coming for us, and we get to speak the very words of life. Can you see how this journey that the Beatitudes are inviting us to take is a challenge for the strong? To realise that however strong and capable we are, it's not really that big a deal. It's not going to last, and it doesn't mean that much to God. We might even need God to break us a little bit, break us down a little bit, and help us see our weakness a little bit more clearly, so that we might find what it means to be poor in spirit, so that we'll mourn our sin, so that we'll be meek enough to ask for his help, so that we'll hunger and thirst for his forgiveness and righteousness, and so that when we're filled with mercy, we'll show mercy for others to others and start living for Jesus. And that living for Jesus is ultimately the key to understanding the Beatitudes. That's, I think, what they're all about. We've said that they're words of encouragement for the hurting. We've said that they're a challenge for the strong. I think most ultimately of all, the words of the Beatitudes are words that give us a king to follow. You see, Jesus was the one who spoke the Beatitudes, but he's also the one who lived the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Jesus was the one who made himself poor, gave up equality with God and made himself nothing, became despised and afflicted so that he could bear our transgressions. Blessed are those who mourn. Jesus mourned and was broken down as he faced the trauma of the cross. Blessed are the meek. Jesus was meek and mild, gentle and lowly, completely reliant on God his Father. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Jesus was completely righteous, so much so that you might remember 2 weeks ago when Jesus was literally hungry after being out in the desert for 40 days, Satan tempted him to turn the stones into bread so that he could eat. And he said, no, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. He was hungrier for righteousness than he was hungry for food after 40 days of not eating. Blessed are the merciful. Jesus shows us mercy, interceding for us at God's right hand. Blessed are the pure in heart. Jesus was wholeheartedly devoted to God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the one who brought us peace with God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Well, Jesus wasn't just persecuted, was he? But he was, in fact, put to death, crucified, so that our sins would go unto him and so that all who come to him might find his forgiveness and blessing. 3 days after he was killed, Jesus rose again. And if you want any proof that these upside-down promises of blessing are true, that they can be flipped around, Well, think of Jesus' resurrection. He gave himself up. He made himself nothing and then was raised up on the third day, given the name above every name. He's king over all kings, king of this new and wonderful blessed kingdom. And as we see what he did, what he gave up, how he lived the Beatitudes, and as we go on the journey that the Beatitudes put before us, as we go the way he went, we allow ourselves to be broken, to see our failings, to see our need, to throw ourselves onto him. And if he was raised up to rule a new kingdom, well, we know that that's the way we're going as well. This is the kingdom we'll inherit. We're going to be comforted. We're going to be filled. We're going to be showed mercy. We're going to see God and be called his children. We're going to have a great reward waiting for us. We'll be truly, truly blessed as we come to this king. And so today, I think that's the question for us. Will we follow this king? Will we go as he takes us on this journey through the Beatitudes? For some of us, and in some ways, this might be a journey that's easy because we're hurting so much. We're willing to throw ourselves on him and his forgiveness, and we don't have anything else to hope in anyway. Now, for others of us, this might be a journey that's a bit harder because we're strong and we don't want to be weak and admit that we need help. We might need some time to do some deep reflection and for God to even break things down a little bit for us. He might even need to break us a bit, and that might be hard. For many of us, this journey that we're talking about is a journey we've been on before. We know and love Jesus and love his gospel and we love his good promises. But I also think it's a journey we go on again and again and again as we live the Christian life. We realize again our failings. We realize afresh our need for grace. And for some of us, this might be a journey that we've never been on. We might even be positive on Jesus and Christianity, but we might never really have come to him and said, I need you, Jesus. I need your mercy. I can't do it myself. I need this blessing. I need this grace that you offer. This is also a journey that it should be said that it should change how we live now. You know, if we understand our brokenness and our need for grace and that we've received mercy, well, of course, we're going to treat others with compassion and mercy and understanding as well, aren't we? And it should also be said that this is a journey we go on together. If we're struggling, we should do that alongside one another and we should bear one another's burdens, not be afraid to share our weakness with one another. And if we're unsure what it means to trust him, we should be helping each other. We should go and get into one of those growth groups where we can be part of spurring one another on. Being here on Sundays as well, especially the next few months as we hear about what life in Jesus' kingdom is all about through the rest of this Sermon on the Mount. So do keep coming back as we think about his kingdom and what it means to be part of it. An encouragement for the hurting, a challenge for the strong, and a king to follow. Will we follow this king? Will we give ourselves to Jesus? Give him our lives? Will we throw ourselves on his mercy? Trust in him, knowing that as we do, we find true blessing. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you this morning for your precious words. Help us to know what it is to be poor in spirit, to mourn, to be meek, to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Bring us to throw ourselves on Jesus. And in response, help us to show mercy, be wholehearted in our love for you. Help us to live at peace with others and not be afraid to speak the gospel to others. Father, help us to know and find true blessing. We thank you for these good promises that in you we'll be comforted, in you we'll be filled, in you we'll be shown mercy. In you will see you and be called your children. Thank you that your kingdom will be our kingdom, that we have every blessing in you and in the name of Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.